Welcome to the Texas Wine Scene Podcast, the most up-to-date information to help you prepare for your wine tasting weekend. I'm Mike, your Texas Wine Scene correspondent, bringing you all the wine happenings in and around the great state of Texas, from the High Plains to the Hill Country. If you love Texas wine, you've come to the right place. Let's take a trip. Everyone to the Texas Wine Scene Podcast. Once again, I'm your host, your Texas Wine Scene correspondent, Mike Cole, bringing you all the wine happenings in and around the great state of Texas. We have done it. We did it. 100 episodes of the Texas Wine Scene Podcast. And I thank you so much for joining us weekly on this wine journey of wine tasting, events, and industry news happening around Texas. It's been an outstanding accomplishment of bringing you 100 episodes of the Texas Wine Scene Podcast. I don't know if you know it, but most podcasters getting into this line of business in this industry, the average podcast lasts about 7 episodes, and we've managed to bring you 100 episodes of the Texas Wine Scene Podcast. And I thank you so much for joining me once again every week, taking 30 to 35 minutes out of your day on your commute to work or from work or to an event, to listen to us or listen to me, bring you some Texas wine industry news and events from around Texas. So thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So I thought I would take the opportunity this week to tell you a little bit about myself as your host and your Texas Wine Scene correspondent, a little bit about my background, my thought processes for the podcast, social media platforms, and things like that. Many of you have seen me out and about doing on-site interviews at various events and wine tastings throughout the state. But truth be told, I've always been a bit reluctant to be out front and in the limelight with the focus just on me. But since I've started the podcast project and sharing information about wineries and wine events, I wanted to focus on just that. The focus is the wineries. The focus is the winery owners, the Texas wine industry, and the events that are happening throughout the state. This is what the mission is about for me and the podcast. But I had a few followers, a few loyal followers and loyal listeners who would tell me at certain events, "Hey, Mike, we would love to see you out and about more in terms of your social media platforms, getting in front of the camera, talking a little bit more about different things with your face involved." So with the encouragement of some of those loyal listeners and wonderful people who stop by every week to listen in on the Texas Wine Scene Podcast, I thought I would do just that. So you'll see a little bit more of me on my social media platforms, particularly Instagram and Facebook, at Texas Wine Scene on Instagram and Texas Wine Scene on Facebook. So I'll pop in occasionally and I'll post something with me talking on those platforms, and you know, hopefully it will continue to thrive and continue to be a successful platform for us as you get more information about local wine events or industry news that's happening around our state. So once again, thank you for stopping in to check us out every week for the past 100 episodes. We're looking forward to doing many more here in the future. We're not going anywhere. I just wanted to take a little bit of time just to stop and introduce myself and tell you a little bit about me. I am Mike Cole. I'm from Louisiana originally, actually Baton Rouge, Louisiana originally. Most of my family's from New Orleans, actually. All that good Cajun food down there in the 504, the boot state of the United States. But I grew up in Denver, Colorado, the mile high city for the better part of my life. But I've lived in San Antonio, Texas for the last 31 years or so. How did I get to San Antonio? I'll get to here in just a little bit. But professionally, what pays the bills every month, I am a doctor of dental surgery, which is just a fancy way of saying that I am a dentist. I'm a former Division I college basketball player, which is one of the reasons why I chose San Antonio to call home. When I was being recruited for basketball, actually, I was in Wyoming, a little small town in the southeastern corner of the state, Torrington, Wyoming, Eastern Wyoming College. I was being recruited by the University of Texas at San Antonio. And I learned during my recruitment of all the schools that were recruiting me for a Division I basketball scholarship, I learned that the University of Texas Health Science Center here in San Antonio was the number one ranked dental school in the country. So it was fairly easy for me to make the decision to choose San Antonio, Texas, to finish my athletic career and attend the University of Texas at the Health Science Center Dental School and move on with my career. I've been practicing dentistry for over 25 years now. I love the practice of dentistry. I love my patients. I do love people, so it allows me to talk to my patients, you know, daily about their lives, about their families, as I continue to provide them with the best dental care that I can. So I've been doing that, like I said, here for 25 years in the San Antonio area, and I still enjoy the practice. There are some challenges about the practice of dentistry, but that's for a different podcast. But I do enjoy people. I do enjoy the industry of dentistry. It's very rewarding. I love to see the smiles on people's faces after, you know, certain treatments and things like that. So that is still a wonderful passion of mine to continue to provide that kind of medical service for the community of San Antonio. How did I get into wine? Well, that's a pretty good story. I used to like to go out to fine dining restaurants. Once I finished dental school and had a little bit of extra expendable cash to go out and have a very nice high-end meal at a very nice restaurant, I would always go to some of the best restaurants around San Antonio. And as I traveled to do some of my continuing education courses throughout the state and around the country, I would always try to find a very nice restaurant to go out to dinner and enjoy an evening. And of course, what comes along with some of those restaurants was the huge wine list that they would drop in your lap to ask you, you know, what wine would you like to be served with your dinner for that evening? And I didn't know very much about wine. I would just basically choose something on, you know, what I've heard in the past. Of course, what comes to mind first is everybody says cab. Well, I'll have a cab, not knowing very much about the different types of cabs, where they come from, or if it's a cab franc, not necessarily just Cabernet Sauvignon. I didn't know very much about wine, so I would just blurt something out. I'll have that, and just order basically randomly. But, you know, after going to several of these different high-end restaurants and these very nice dinners, I didn't really like not knowing anything about what I was ordering or what I was drinking. As a matter of fact, I had one incident that kind of derailed me for a little bit and kind of, made me feel a little bit inferior in that space of fine dining. I ordered a wine at a really nice restaurant here in San Antonio. And I didn't like the wine for whatever reason. I didn't know. I just didn't like the wine. So I asked if I can have something different. And so the waiter sent over a different gentleman who turns out to be the sommelier of that particular restaurant. And he came over with a little bit of kind of a condescending kind of attitude toward what I had ordered or what I was going to order on the second round. So he asked me a few questions, which made me feel like I didn't necessarily belong, or I didn't know what I was talking about, which I didn't. But I didn't feel that I was, you know, accepted. I didn't feel that, you know, I was, you know, needing to be in that space, on that particular day. But nonetheless, I did order another bottle of wine. He presented something else, which was actually, to my liking, to my palate at that time. And, I moved on with a very nice evening of dining, but I never forgot that feeling that I got from that particular sommelier at that restaurant. And again, I wanted to not have that experience again moving forward as I go to continue to dine in these facilities. So I started reading about wine. I started learning and listening to everything I could about wine on my commutes to and from work. And after work, I'm picking up books, and one book leads to another. And then you kind of go down this bit of a rabbit hole of studying, you know, wine. And it's such a vast industry, wine is. And once you go down that rabbit hole, it's really hard to turn back, especially if you love the subject, which I do. And I did all those years ago. And that was probably almost 20 years ago when I started this, this journey. So my studies of learning and reading about wine, I started taking some certification courses, like the intro to certification in the Court of Master Sommeliers. I got a certificate from Wine and Spirits Education Trust for levels 1, 2, and 3 that I accomplished there. I also got a certificate of achievement from the French Wine Scholar through the Wine Scholars Guild. Also, I took courses for the Certified Specialist of Wine through the Society of Wine Educators, and also right here in Texas, the Specialist of Texas Wines levels 1 and the advanced level over the years. So I just kind of started to do some in-depth study. And again, one course led to another as you continue to go down this rabbit hole. And, you know, kind of being a kind of academic in profession, I think it was right in my wheelhouse to continue studying. I do like to be challenged. And when I don't really know something about a subject, I do try to do a little bit of research to get some type of background information about that subject. So I'll have some knowledge about the subject and what I'm talking about. And wine just took me in a totally different direction. With the study of wine, it takes you all over the world. In terms of your studies, geography became my favorite subject. I didn't really like geography in school, but in my studies of wine over the last 20 years or so, you know, just knowing where all these wines come from, you learn about the culture, you learn about the people, you learn about some of their histories, of those countries, all through wine. And, that to me was absolutely, fascinating. So it's taken me in a few different directions, which I appreciate, which I still, you know, love today. So, I continue to taste wine and, you know, go to a lot of wine events. I am a wine judge. I've judged some of the major competitions around the state. That's been an awesome opportunity to take part in some of those, events. You get a chance to taste a lot of wines, continuing to develop your palate, tasting wines from, you know, from the state of Texas and also internationally, as they bring in all these different wines. So it's a lot of fun. It is very taxing. It is very labor intensive, with so many wines throughout the day. You definitely have to be, on top of your game and in a professional mode, of tasting wine, because if you start drinking some of those wonderfully tasty wines over a several hours period, it's going to be a long afternoon, and then you're not going to be able to judge these wines the way they should be judged. So most of the judges in our panels, in the panels I've experienced, are very professional. They've judged these wines on their merit and has done a fantastic job on judging these wines. And so I continue to love to do that as well. So, yeah, that's also been a tremendous passion of mine here in the last few years. The passion of wine has been a passion. I love drinking wine. I love talking to people about wine. I love tasting the different varieties. I still enjoy going to a lot of different wine tastings at the wineries and sharing events or tasting at events and sharing a glass of wine with family and friends as I continue on my wine journey. And I think that's what it is. It is a journey. Wine is so vast and so huge, you can't know it all. It's just too many wines. There's over 10,000 varieties of wines, I believe, at last count. And it's just hard to try to know it all. So what I try to do, what a lot of my industry professionals try to do, is continue to taste, continue to learn as you continue on your journey. And that's what I encourage you to do. If you're new to this podcast or new to wine, continue to taste, drink wine that you like. Don't let anyone discourage you from what you like, if it's red or if it's white, if it's dry or if it's sweet. I taste all these wines and I love them all. I continue to be optimistic. I continue to be open-minded about the different wines, and I encourage you to do the same thing. Don't get stuck on just one variety. Don't get just stuck on one style of wine. Continue to evolve and enjoy your wine. And again, don't let anyone discourage you about what you like to drink, even if it's an inexpensive bottle of wine at the lowest level or the lowest shelf of wine. Drink what you like and drink often, responsibly, of course. But there's so much wine out there to learn about, to taste, and be confident in your tasting acumen. So I drink all kinds of wine. I love wine. I love the different styles, from reds, whites, dries, sweets, sparkling. I absolutely love from around the world. So, I'm going to continue to do some of those same, tastings and stay open-minded and drink more wine that I haven't tasted before. There are some wines that are not to my liking, some particular varieties, but every time I see those on a menu, I choose those because I know that the wine I've tasted before in a variety category may not be the same producer or style from a different area. So I'll try that wine and see if I can find one that I do like that actually moves the needle for me. So some of my favorite wines I like to drink, on the white side, I like Viognier, Chenin Blanc, and Sauvignon Blancs. Those are tasty white wines. They're crisp, acidic wines. Viognier has a very floral and a beautiful nose to it. I think that's one of the things that's drawn me to that particular variety. I tasted a Viognier in a wine bar in the Dallas, Texas area a lot of years ago, and I've been tasting multiple Viogniers trying to track down that same experience I had all those years ago, because it was an absolutely wonderful experience and a tasty Viognier. So do love that white grape variety. But I tell you, Blanc de Bois here in Texas is slowly becoming one of my favorite varieties. I mean, that variety is very versatile, and we got some folks here in Texas that are doing some really nice things with Blanc de Bois, that hybrid grape variety. I think it's fantastic. I'll just quickly mention Elisa Christopher Wines out there in, I believe, Johnson City. She's doing fantastic things with her sparkling wine program. If you haven't been out to Elisa Christopher Wines, you definitely owe it to yourself to run out there and taste with her. She's wonderful. She's a wonderful winemaker and a wonderful person. She'll give you a tour of the facility if there's time to do that. She's one of the first who brought some of the equipment in from outside the state to do the actual process of winemaking for sparkling wines here in the state. And so there's also some other wineries that are also making some sparkling wine the traditional method way of doing things like they do in Champagne and making their sparkling wine. So it's very exciting. So I just thought I'd mention her real quick because I do drink quite a bit of her sparkling wines and I like what she's doing. Now on the red sides, I do like Syrah. I do like Zinfandel, not just the white Zinfandel, but red Zinfandel. I think that's one of my favorite grape varieties. It's heavy, it's dense, it's bold. It's good for barbecue, and that's what we do here in the state of Texas. So if you're drinking Zinfandel or if you're eating barbecue, picking a nice Zinfandel would definitely pair well with that. I also like Merlot. Merlot has gotten a bad rap over the last several years due to a certain movie that came out that kind of shined a little bit of a clouded light on that grape variety, if you will. But I do like Merlot. That I think it's a fantastic variety. Also, Cabernet Sauvignon. I mentioned that early on in the episode about my experience with just ordering a cab, you know, not necessarily knowing if it was Cabernet Franc or Cabernet Sauvignon or whatever it was. But Cabernet Sauvignon is also one of my favorite red grape varieties. So those are just a few of my my choices for some of the things I like to drink. So I thought I would share a little bit of my favorite and my style and my palate with you at this particular moment. It might evolve a little bit more as I continue to drink and experience a lot more wine. So why did I start the Texas Wine Scene social media platform and podcast? Well, I love, like I said, going to different wine events, but what I found in the past was there wasn't a collective resource that I knew at the time to put the events coming up for the weekend or anything like that front of mind to let listeners and wine enthusiasts know, hey, this upcoming weekend, this is happening in Fredericksburg. This is happening in North Texas. This is happening in the Texas High Plains or wherever the wineries are, all these different events that are happening. I didn't think there was a platform or a resource to put that in front of your radar weekly or, you know, every couple weeks or whatever it was, just to let you know what's coming up. I think the wineries, the winery owners, the winemakers, and all the people, the auxiliary personnel at these establishments work hard to put on some of these events. And when they're not advertised effectively and often, then you tend to forget or you tend not to know about some of these events that are happening. And that's what was happening to me. I would hear about an event. Oh, that happened in Fredericksburg, but I didn't even know that was going on. Or, you know, in Mason County or in Lubbock, I didn't know that that was going on. I wish I would have known because I was in the area. I would have stopped by and, you know, joined in on that particular event and tasted some more wonderful wine. So I thought I would just kind of start an Instagram page, and that evolved into the podcast. I thought I could share some of that information weekly with wine enthusiasts and say, hey, this is what's going on over at William Chris. Hey, this is what's going on over at Spicewood, or this is what's going on, you know, over at Farmhouse. Any of the wineries that'll put on an event, I would like to mention it. So I enjoy going to these wine tasting and wine events. I just end up missing them, you know, very often. So I thought I would try my best to locate these events, you know, put a list together and share them with as many people as I can. I do drink worldly wine, but we're here in Texas, so I try to support the Texas, you know, wine industry. So if there's an event going on, I like to, you know, advertise and publicize that particular event so everybody can get out and taste some of the wonderful things that we got going on here in the Texas wine industry. So that was the impetus of starting the social media platform on Instagram, Facebook, and the podcast. And that's where we're at today. It's been an evolving mission to start the podcast and continue to develop the podcast. It's not an easy endeavor. It's very labor intensive. So, you know, we continue to try to put out the best podcast listening platform as possible. So it's been a lot of fun. Like I said, it's labor intensive. I think it takes me about between 15 and 20 hours to put together the podcast. I peruse and go to as many websites as I can weekly to see what they have going on at their particular wineries. Some wineries have very informative websites and they'll tell you exactly what's going on from week to week. Even some will put out information, for a couple months out. And so that really helps me as I continue to put my list together and build my framework on an episode that's coming out the next week. Other wineries, not so much. They're still developing their website. It does require a lot of energy on their part. Same thing with me and my websites and my platform. Sometimes you can't get to them all the time. It's a lot of work to keep them updated. But I think the ones that are doing a really good job at keeping their websites updated and putting out information are wineries that are being visited more often, I think. So if you're a winery or a winery auxiliary personnel or an associate of a winery, talk to their to the person that does the websites, talk to the people who are doing the social media. If you can keep that updated often, that sure helps get the word out. Definitely helps me as I put together the list for the weekly podcast to get the events and the information out. So I would go to websites, often, again, weekly, and taking a few hours, out of my time and my day to see what's going on. And what I've learned on the websites, a lot of them have music playing. I do like to listen to live music. So I thought that was another type of resource to put on my weekly podcast, because a lot of other people like to listen to very good music as they're enjoying their glass of wine with their family and friends at the winery. So I incorporated music into the podcast as well, which I have a lot of fun doing, and talk about some of the artists and musicians that are playing at some of these wineries at these events. So it's been pretty cool. So like I said, over the last year or so, the podcast has evolved. I got different segments. I do talk about wine industry news from around the state. Being in the industry and visiting a lot of wineries and doing some judging, as well as being at the events, I get a chance to speak to a lot of winery owners, winemakers, and I kind of get the scoop of what's happening on the wine scene through some of those individuals, and kind of being in the know, so to speak. So I kind of got a little bit of an in there to see what's coming down the pipeline or what's on the horizon for different things. Politically, like AVAs, or, big events like the Fredericksburg Food and Wine Festival, or the, events in, North Texas, West Texas, all over the place. And so it does help, being on site at some of these, events and being able to talk to some of the industry leaders. So I have the Texas Wine Scene News that starts off the podcast, and then I get into some of the wine events. And then I do a little bit of about the music, as you know, if you're listening to this podcast. And then I kind of finish it up with a little bit of did you know portion, just to kind of tie things together between Texas wine and a lot of other various industry or wine events or history or news or anything like that, that I think is worth making a little bit of a connection between Texas wine and history of wine overall. So that's kind of how I like to frame the podcast. Here in these past 100 episodes, the podcast will evolve a little bit as we continue to move on in the next 100 episodes. We'll continue to expand possibly some of the areas. I won't let the cat out of the bag right now, but we will be changing up a few things. We'll be adding a few things, maybe, you know, taking a few things out or just kind of rearranging a few things on the show. But for the most part, the framework of the podcast, I think, will remain the same. I do like the flow of it. I have gotten to a nice workflow with the current setup of the podcast. It allows me time to whittle down the amount of time I'm spending on trying to organize, produce, edit, and launch the podcast weekly. It does take a lot of work to do it all. I do it all by myself. I am it. I am your Texas Wine Scene correspondent. I am your producer. I am your editor. And I'm all those things, your social media guy, trying to put things out. But I love it. And this is what I do. What do I like most about the podcast? It's being an industry insider. I think I get the scoop on a lot of things that are happening on the Texas wine scene. I get to learn about upcoming events that haven't been launched yet, so I can kind of get prepared a little bit early and trying to get those things out to you. And I also like the challenge of producing this episode. This industry is not an industry I studied in. This is an industry I fell into that I enjoy, but it is an industry, and we're talking about the audio visual podcast industry. It's almost like a media type of industry, kind of like you're like a journalist without having a journalism degree. Those professionals are at the highest level of the industry. And once we jump in as podcasters, you're kind of in that area or that industry, not at the level of some of those professionals are, but if you continue producing, editing, and trying to improve your product, then you kind of start, or at least I do, doing research on how to become better, how to better produce, edit, and deliver the information. It is a challenge, but it's very rewarding. And I think it's right in my wheelhouse, as an academic in my background with the sciences, in my field of dentistry. I love to study. I love to get better. I love to evolve. And that's what the challenge is that I like about this industry. The equipment that I use, it's very high-end equipment. I think my total equipment package that I have to produce this industry, you know, cost over $10,000. And I remember one of my podcast colleagues here in Texas reporting that he had his equipment stolen because we hadn't heard any podcasts from him in a couple of weeks, and it just turned out that someone had stolen his podcast setup. And if he had anything like, you know, what I have over here, it's very, very expensive equipment, high quality equipment. When I learned that he had gotten his equipment stolen, I really felt terrible for him, because he had to start all over and purchase that equipment again. And a lot of this stuff that we do is out of our own pocket. It's on our own dime, going to pay for fees to get into the events, participating in some of the bigger events around the state, or buying some of the wines and things like that. That's straight out of our pocket. So if you do hear about some of my podcast colleagues asking to be a Patreon or to buy them a cup of coffee on their podcast, please consider doing so, because it does help the podcast providers and producers to, you know, offset some of their costs. So when they ask you about some of those things, if the content is to your liking and you're following along, you know, a couple dollars here or there will definitely help them continue to bring the best content possible. So big shout out to some of my podcast colleagues throughout here in the state of Texas. They're doing a fantastic job, and we continue to want to bring this information to all the wonderful listeners across the state. You know, like I said, some of the challenges of the podcast has been the time commitment. It's a show that requires researching, editing, producing, and launching. And like I said, it takes over between 15 and 20 hours a week. But it's worth it, and we do enjoy it. And I will continue to bring the best possible podcast episodes to you every week. This podcast has definitely been a passion. I look forward to doing many more episodes with you guys. I do ask that you continue to support the podcast, share the podcast with anyone that is a wine enthusiast that likes to get out and drink a glass of wine with family and friends, or take a nice little wine trip or voyage out into the wine country, be it the Texas High Plains or the Texas Hill Country. There's wineries all over the state. We're well over 500 wineries that are doing a fantastic job in producing their wines. We're on the stage, the national stage, for the best wine producing states in the country. And also with tourism in our state, the Hill Country is becoming one of those hubs of a destination to visit, to drink wine. There's a lot of things happening in the Texas Hill Country with a lot of new growth. There's new hotels, boutique hotels coming to the Texas Hill Country around the Fredericksburg area. If you've been listening in to this podcast weekly, I've been presenting and sharing some information about some developments with some different high-end hotels coming in that will provide facilities that will be offering some new experiences in the Texas Hill Country with their facilities. And it's just getting bigger and better. So I invite you to continue to listen into the show. Again, share the podcast with all your family and friends. And if you see me out there on the Texas wine scene at an event, please stop by, say hello, and let's chit chat a little bit. It's always fun to talk to some of the listeners when I meet them, you know, at a wine event on the Texas wine scene, and talk to them a little bit and hear them, you know, say they like the show, that they listen all the time. It really makes me feel that what I'm doing for those 15 or 20 hours a week trying to produce a podcast episode makes me feel good that it's being listened to and it's being shared with others. So please, you know, come up and say hello. Let's talk about it. Maybe we'll get you on the podcast for a little bit of an interview and talk to you about what you got going on and what do you like about the Texas wine scene and the Texas Wine Scene podcast. So cheers to 100 episodes and 100 more episodes to come. I look forward to it, and it's going to be bigger, and it's going to be better, a lot more fun. And I continue to strive to bring you the best content possible on this platform. And once again, I thank you so much for taking your time out of your day, be it 20, 30, 40 minutes, to listen to me ramble on about Texas wine and the great state of Texas and the Texas wine industry. So as I say every week, thank you for joining me. I'm Mike Cole, your Texas wine scene correspondent, and I look forward to seeing you next time on the Texas Wine Scene.